Go.
All right.
My squiggles are squiggling.
Sorry. Hello and Melakaliki Maka, everybody. I'm Jingle Bell Rob.
I don't know, dreaming of a white Genmas.
Unhappy Christmas to all! I'm Skeletor!
And yes, welcome to the Iacon Underground Patreon special for the month of December, which of course means that this is the Christmas special. We have the Iacon Underground quarters here, bedecked with our Christmas decorations, and we have decided to watch one of the, well, maybe the stupidest thing we've ever watched. The He-Man She-Ra Christmas special.
From the great year
1985. We've watched worse things than this. I think this might be the stupidest thing we've ever watched.
Possibly. Alright, then, happy 69th episode of the Stasis Pod Patreon podcast, and I don't think I could keep this up the entire time. I would try to do Skeletor this entire episode, but my throat is already a little sore because of seasonal allergies and shit.
It's amazing that Alan Oppenheimer is still alive after doing this for, like, multiple seasons.
It's not really that hard of a voice. It's easier than Palpatine, but I don't think I can hold it because you have to do it. It's like you're sort of not closing your lips, and at the same time, you have to because you don't pronounce properly. And just sort of shout cheerfully while being angry.
Rise of Skywalker was pretty stupid.
Yeah, that was far stupider. But for cartoons we've watched, this is... Well, we watched the regular He-Man episode, and that was also stupid.
Well, this is twice as long, so this is twice as stupid.
Yes.
And also, nobody was filled with the spirit of Christmas in that.
No.
Yeah.
And also, we didn't meet any man-sheens in that.
Okay, we'll be getting to that. But yeah, like, this is definitely not the worst thing we've ever watched. It's not the worst cartoon we've ever watched.
I'm not saying it's the worst thing. I'm saying it's the stupidest thing.
It's pretty stupid. Totally. Yes.
Like, I think Dinozor is the thing that caused me the most pain.
Yeah.
But this is much stupider.
Yeah. Well, this is also more aimed at, like, little children, it feels. Well, He-Man in general is, like, it's, like, a few years younger than, like, G1 Transformers.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, like cartoon writing for, like, toy selling took a level up between He-Man and, like, Transformers.
And yeah, there was only a few years, and then it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, Transformers is no great work of art, but it's, again, slightly less stupid.
I mean, it's a lot of the same people, but.
And also, they had more voice actors than the six people who were in the office that day.
Yes. When looking up voice actors, I found, like, oh, there's another voice. Oh, wait, that's just Lou Scheimer under a different name voicing some robots.
Everybody's, like, 10 characters in this.
Yes.
And, we did previously discuss He-Man. This is our first foray into the world of She-Ra.
Yes.
I think they were definitely rerunning this when I was a kid. I watched it with my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was the attempt to, it's like He-Man, but your sister can watch it because it's got girls and unicorns.
Yeah, well, because that was like three seasons of He-Man, and I forget if it ran concurrently with the last one or was like right after the third one. It's like, let's do She-Ra now. And
it was concurrent.
I think I watched some of She-Ra, but it's like, it's more for girls, so I didn't watch all of it.
I was all about both of those shows. I had Hordak as a toy,
but other than that, I don't remember a lot.
As a proper, tiny, infant, genderqueer person, I was very much into both He-Man and She-Ra. So.
Oh, has anybody watched the new She-Ra?
Yes.
No,
I have not.
I still need to watch the last season, because I, like, had to take a break from Netflix for a while, but yes. And I did find myself, like, noticing characters in this and being like, haha, that character is so much different in the new She-Ra.
Yeah, it's like, I haven't watched that. I haven't watched any of the He-Man stuff. I'd like to watch the She-Ra and, like, the Kevin Smith He-Man. But to be honest, I should watch Voltron first.
That's another one that I need to catch up on the last couple seasons I need to catch.
So you're saying that I'm aware that, like, Catra is an important character on that show, and she doesn't constantly sound like a cat is trying to emerge from her lungs?
No, but she is more of a furry.
Yes.
Okay, then.
But she sounds like just a normal person occasionally being kind of furry-ish.
Wait, not just furry, like she's very anime furry in design.
She's not like, rawr, Shira, Hordak, I will do things, rawr. So yes, she's not quite like that. I had Catra as a kid, and Shira. I had the Shira with like all the sparkly, glittery, like the headpiece that had the like hollow foil stuff on it. I had a bunch of She-Ra figures. So
I had so many He-Man toys.
I had Swiftwind. I did have Swiftwind.
And yet, and I mean, the first thing that surprised me about this is that it was written by our old pal Bob Forward.
Yes!
Yes! I was happy to see that.
Our good buddy Bob Forward.
Co-written. The other writer was Don Heckman, who was like an old school animation veteran. Like, he did a... He did the Hanna-Barbera Godzilla, did a bunch of He-Man, a bunch of She-Ra, the Filmation Ghostbusters.
Yay.
Don Heck is the name, well, Heckman is the name I've heard forever.
Well, weirdly, Don Heckman, there's also a comics guy named Don Heck who I assume is unrelated.
That might have been the thing. I might have thought they were the same guy.
Yeah, and also a bunch of episodes of Brave Star.
Ooh.
Which I've always heard is, like, surprisingly okay.
Yeah, that was also Filmation, right?
Yes, it was.
I remember it being really good.
Yeah.
For a show about a space lawman and his horse, talking horse.
From space Texas.
Yes.
Well, Texas, in many continuities, is a colony, a planet. Texas exists in space for some reason.
So yeah, it is winter in the weird made up planet of Eternia.
Yes, and we have a crossover of a pan of characters from both series talking.
Yeah, so
and we're flirting with someone in the background,
and we're like late in the series. So we got all like the weird toys when they were running out of good gimmicks. Like we got Snout Spout, who is the guy with a robot elephant head.
At one point at the end, he uses his robot trunk to put the star on top of the Christmas tree, so.
And also, it's weird that he's got, like, this mechanical elephant head, and then the rest of him is, like, almost naked.
Well, that describes virtually every male character in He-Man.
This is true.
And in She-Ra.
This is true.
And She-Ra's like where the male characters get some more clothes.
She-Ra is reasonably well clothed.
I do really appreciate that one of the most important design characteristics about Bo, who is the male character from She-Ra, that they felt necessary to carry over into the recent series, was his crop top.
Yeah, but at least he has a shirt and pants.
He does.
Does he also have that mustache?
He does. The Bo in the new series does not have the mustache now.
Well, he's also a teenager in the new series.
His dad probably does.
But probably.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all teenagers, which is something that I generally am not thrilled about because I kind of liked when I was a kid that all these action stories were about, like, grown adults, even if they acted like people in a kid's show.
Yes, for some reason it doesn't bother me in She-Ra, from what I know, because it feels like that's going more for, like, Avatar the Airbender style storytelling. So it worked.
And I guess we can also mention here that according to Erica Scheimer, who worked there, was a voice actor and daughter of Filmation founder Lou Scheimer, Filmation was the gayest place in Hollywood.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, just rewatching this, it's like, yes. Yes, it was.
Yes. There are a lot of gay men of my generation who definitely had very strong feelings about He-Man as a kid.
So it is the joint birthday of Prince Adam and Princess Adora, a.k.a. He-Man and She-Ra, and all these, like, space barbarians are just putting together these decorations for this birthday party.
It's like it's like when the boys' school and the girls' school come together and have an event together. So suddenly they get to intermingle because, of course, the He-Man cast is primarily male, and the She-Ra cast is primarily female, so we're getting to have some mingling and for what that's worth, because, it's all very gay.
I mean, it's going to be like the Olympic Village there. Look out.
Yeah, a couple of guys are flirting. Like I said, Moss Man, I think, is flirting in the background, which does seem weird since he's the guy made of moss.
Well,
I mean, hey, ladies, I'm pine-scented.
He's pine-scented.
Supposedly, I never noticed.
I forgot about this, that He-Man's mother is from Earth.
Yes.
Like, she was, like, an astronaut or something?
Yes. She is one of those, I guess, I don't know, like, Farscape or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there, you could do a lot worse. Like, her ship landed, and she's like, oh, I'm on the planet of the Space Hunks. Like, this is way better than, like, that weird Matt Damon planet from Interstellar.
Yes, and I married a king? Awesome.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry, everybody looks like that? NASA? No, I'm good. You're cutting out. Going through a tunnel.
Yeah. Landed on the planet of ripped men. Some of whom at least have to be at least a little bisexual, so.
I mean, I guess the problem is, you know, you're on that planet like, oh, so how, I'm just gonna have to keep working out, huh?
Yeah.
So what size do these clothes come in? Yeah, do you have carbs here?
She's just got to keep up with Teela and the Enchantress. Sorceress.
It's a good thing I still have my... Good thing I brought my Jane Fonda tapes with me. Anyway, so while this is going on, Adam is helping Man-at-Arms work on the Sky Spy... Speaking of Transformers. But which is actually, is not a spy satellite, but like, it's, I guess, the Eternian version of like the U-2 jet.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Something like that.
And they're going to use this to spy on Skeletor.
Of course.
But of course, local magical imp / annoying side Orko gets in there, starts messing around with everything, and then just blasts off into space.
Yep.
Oops.
And they have no idea what this is, so there's, I guess some sort of malfunction. Well, at least nobody was in it.
I do appreciate how they don't even, like, go out of their way to verify that there's no one in it. They just assume no one is in it, so they should go shoot it down.
Listen,
no one would be dumb enough to get into the rocket and turn it on. In the conveniently small cockpit that's only fit for, well, someone smaller than He-Man, like half the size, who has no legs because there's no leg room.
So, unfortunately, what it is detected by is Skeletor, who's in this weird, like, skull spaceship with arms.
Yeah, as you do.
Of course.
And he's got, like, his crewmen with him, like, Too Bad, who's the guy with two heads.
All the character names are so amazing.
You got Spike Orr, who is the spiky guy.
Mm-hmm. One of the snake men constructor.
Who is apparently supposed to be, I think it might be Tongue Lash Orr.
Oh.
Who is supposed to be one of Hordak's guys, but
all the snake guys were supposed to be Hordak's guys, but one of them came out first before.
Oh, no, sorry, this is Rat-Lore. And yeah, I mean, maybe they were doing like an exchange.
Mm-hmm. Well, they all, like, you know, sort of have the same upper management CEO boss.
Yeah, as it turns out. So yeah, we're going to send Rattler over there for exchange, and you're going to send us, I don't know, maybe Stinkor or Beastman. And apparently the other guy's Webstor, who's like a spider guy.
Mm. Yes, Webster.
And again, because we have five voice actors, all these guys just have ridiculous voices where they're just flanging them to hell.
Doing the most, like, weird accents they can come up with, or flanging them. Or,
like, is it Webstor that, like, has so much flange he sounds like a robot?
I think that's Spikor.
One of the two
Spikor. I was honestly like, is this just like a voice processing thing, or what's the deal?
I don't think we had those back then. Or
that's
at least
what
not,
I was wondering.
Not that Filmation could afford.
Poor Filmation.
I mean, I guess Matthew Broderick could afford one in War Games. That was like the year before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hello, Skeletor. Would you like to play a game? Anyway, so he's chasing after this, and so, you know, He-Man and She-Ra can't let this important military hardware fall into the hands of Skeletor. So He-Man takes off in this, like, weird flying dirt bike thing.
Yeah, of course it flies, because it was the only vehicle he could find, and despite it having three giant wheels, it flies faster than a giant flying skull ship.
Apparently it was not sold as a flying vehicle, but they wrote it into the plot because Mattel was like, hey, sell this toy.
Just sell it. Sell the toy. Make it fly. Just whatever you need to do.
And of course, She-Ra has a flying unicorn, so she's already set. So, yes. You know, they fight this thing. You know, they cut the claws off this ship. There's a pretty amusing bit here where, like, you know, Skeletor's henchmen fail him because of course they do, because they're all just a bunch of boobs.
Yes.
And the Skeletor's like, here, take this parachute. It's like, why do I need this parachute? And he just ejects all of them.
Yes. And they have to share one parachute.
And they're all, like, chained, like, one hanging onto the other one's feet and the next one hanging onto the...
Like a barrel of monkeys.
Like a barrel of monkeys.
I was tempted to screen cap and stitch that all together because it's hilarious.
It's pretty good.
Maybe I'll do
that. I mean,
those
must be good parachutes because, of course, like everybody on Eternia, these are all like extremely beefy dudes.
Yes.
And one of them is two beefy dudes sewn together.
Yes.
Everyone on Eternia is ripped.
I think in that, like, Ots cartoon, there's some backstory about how they were, like, two guys named, like, Tuvus and Badrin.
Yeah, something like that, and they hate each other.
And then they screwed something up, so Skeletor was all like, well, now you're sewn together, like Rosie Greer and...
some white guy.
The other guy from The Incredible Two-Headed Transplant.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Orko tries to use magic, but again, because Orko cannot do anything right, he just sends it off into the void.
He threw away his magic book in favor of rocket ship playing.
Yes. So he crashes on this strange planet. Why? Could it be Earth? And, he meets two annoying children, Miguel and Alicia.
Oh! Wait a sec. While He-Man and She-Ra are chasing this space shuttle, sky spy ship, they're flying into what looks like the blackness of space and still breathing.
Yeah, you know, it's fine. They're super.
You know, they've got the power of Grayskull.
Yeah.
It's like a Batman can breathe in space.
Batman is more insane. It struck me as weird as He-Man could breathe in space out of nowhere, and then they just get tired and turn around because it's going too far.
And also, because I have been on the internet too long, when He-Man starts to do the I have the power thing, I really did expect four non-blondes what's going on to start playing.
What's going on?
So I was a little uncertain as to Alicia's gender at first until she got a name because she literally just has He-Man's haircut.
Well,
and
yes.
I was like, so is that a boy? Because in the context of He-Man, that's a male haircut or
a small child with a squeaky voice.
I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of boys did have that haircut in the
80s.
Yeah. Yes, well, at some point it was legally required to have a shitty bowl cut.
Well, I mean, the 90s were... the bowl cut, my God. Take this kid to the barber and ask him to give him the mo.
That's more the 90s, though.
Anyway,
like
so
the
these,
early 90s. The bad part of the 90s.
So, so these kids, you know, they've somehow gone out, cut down a Christmas tree.
Yeah, a few days before Christmas.
This kid is not old enough to have an axe, let me tell you.
No, absolutely not.
Well, unless they live in the...
Yeah, are these like weird survivalists or something?
Like,
they could be very rural.
I realize that, like, parenting used to be different back then because, you know, I was there, but I never, like, we lived in a wooded area and I would not have been allowed to just wander off into the woods with an axe. And I certainly would not have been sent to do so by my parents specifically to go get a Christmas tree. Like,
there's like three levels of problem here. One, the small children are getting a big goddamn like 5 to 6 foot tall tree by themselves. That's weird. with no parental supervision and letting them cut it. But it seems like this is like 2 or 3 days, like before Christmas. Who gets their Christmas tree that late? What? Why is this such a thing in media?
That's true.
Like people hunting on Christmas Eve to get trees and
it
shit.
It is a bit, like, at that point, you really just give up. Just accept that you're not having a tree this year.
Yeah. Like the few times I have had a real tree, I think we did cut it down ourselves once. Like, we would get the tree 2 weeks before Christmas or so. Like, at least a week before.
We were,
you're not doing it days
before.
We were
usually a week after Thanksgiving family when we had real trees, so... Yeah, that's...
I mean, we always had an artificial one, but the rule was generally, like, 1st of December. You take it out of the box and you put it together.
Yeah.
I haven't fully decorated mine yet, and it's getting closer.
Ooh, yeah.
I decided under the circumstances to accept that I am not in a position to have a Christmas tree because I have too many foster kittens.
Yeah, and what is a Christmas tree but just a giant cat toy?
Yeah.
Well, if you had a small one and they could play around it at supervised times.
It's a scratching post with a bunch of cat toys attached to it.
Yes. Yeah, you get things that are foam and they can fuck up.
Especially with Loki.
Anyway, so, you know, he saves these kids from Avalanche and then he brings them into the Sky Spy because they're totally lost. And they start telling him all about Jesus.
Yeah, like... It cuts away before we get to Jesus, but we cut back after they're talking about the three wise men.
Yeah.
Orko knows who Jesus is now.
I do appreciate that we gloss over the actual theological lesson.
Yes. However, I have to assume that Orko, like, he's from Eternia, so he just imagines that Jesus is just, like, this really jacked guy with a beard and probably, like, no pants.
Yeah, jacked guy with a beard, no pants, like, magical wizard powers.
Oh my god, he looks like that early Power of the Force Luke Skywalker.
Yes. And of course, this is ironic because multiple evangelical parents would not let their kids watch He-Man because only Jesus has the power.
Yes.
Which, okay.
I always enjoyed coming across those books back when I worked at a used bookstore about, like, how cartoons were destroying your children's moral fiber. Those were great.
So anyway, we're back on Eternia, and we're trying to figure out what went on with this Sky Spy, and, you know, they come in and he's like, hey, we have a they come in and to see Man-at-Arms, and they're like, Man-at-Arms, we have a serious problem. Orko is missing, and he was on the Sky Spy, and he's like, hey, I thought you said it was a serious problem.
Yes, I'm a serious scientist here, I have to go do some reps.
Yes.
So as a brief aside, I would like to note that Man-at-Arms is the character in the new He-Man stuff, whose voice actor is some person from Game of Thrones. Because everything now has to have some person from Game of Thrones, and he seems like
it's the rule,
the best candidate.
Well, I think that's started dwindling off now, but yeah.
Well, now they'll have to have somebody from the new Game of Thrones, the House of the Dragon.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they find the coordinates that the Sky Spy is at, and amusingly, this is apparently like derived from the address for Filmation.
That's cool.
Like, it's their street number and combined with, like, their fax number.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to send a fax to Filmation, pull this up.
Yeah, back in the 80s.
And he's like, well, I can fire a transport beam there, but I need a crystal, and I don't have any crystals. But hey,
there
might
be
one.
It may not even exist. It's a theoretical crystal.
Yeah, there isn't one on Eternia, but there may be one on Ethereum. Is this like a twin planet situation?
Kind of.
Yeah.
It is a different
planet.
Because
She-Ra is from... Etheria.
Right, she was kidnapped as a baby.
Right, and like raised by the evil horde of Hordak.
Yes. So she is... So, she has been living on another planet, and all her lady friends are on the other planet.
Wait, is She-Ra a retelling of the New Gods?
I mean, maybe.
Well, it wasn't like an actual trade, though.
No.
I don't think.
No, she was just stolen.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so she, you know, so, by the honor of Grayskull, she is She-Ra. She heads off and talks to her mermaid friend, Mermista, who is either A, French, or B, hitting on her, or C,
I'm
both.
I'm gonna say both.
Yes. She's lounging luxuriously on a rock.
Yes.
And I can't, seashells.
And I can't tell if she's trying to be coquettish or, again, if she's just somebody doing a bad French accent.
There is heavy accent going on here.
So, you know, she's got an idea of where this crystal might be. It might be in the, in this pool that is guarded by a creature known as the Beast Monster, which is definitely like, okay, so we can't think of a name for this monster. We'll just put Beast Monster in the script, and then we'll come back to it later.
When we think of something.
And we'll come up with a better name for it.
Yeah, some of the names in this are very much thing with beast, and that'll do.
I was like, oh shit, we didn't replace that. They've already recorded the dialogue. Oh, it's gonna go air, whatever.
Yeah, it's like that.
Ah, they're 8-year-olds. Nobody's gonna care.
I didn't.
So, yeah, they have to go fight this really crummy-looking beast monster.
It's a sea monster, basically. It's a sea serpent.
It's a bit, yeah. It pops up, it's like got a Nessie head, but then there's a squat little kaiju body attached to it, and it just gets chucked in a hole.
Okay, but
apparently it's based on, like, the weird hand puppet that came with the Fright Zone.
Yeah,
toy.
Let's take a moment to appreciate the Fright Zone, though, because the Fright Zone is super cool.
I mean, Fright Zone is a fantastic name.
Yes, Fright Zone is a fantastic name, and it's basically just like a post-apocalyptic, super high-tech area. It's there are all these sci-fi buildings that are just in horrible disrepair, and it's super cool looking.
Like, the animation on this show is not great, but the background paintings are kind of cool.
Yeah, the backgrounds are great. Every once in a while, there's really good animation, but most of it is easy-to-reuse stock animation of running and punching and talking.
And yeah, the Fright Zone toy was like a wall that had, like, a jail in it, a tree on top, and a monster hand puppet.
Well, yeah.
Rawr.
But in concept.
I think it, I think it also had like a voice changing machine.
Oh, maybe.
No, I think that was the other one.
Was the skull, Snake Mountain?
Snake Mountain.
Snake Mountain, okay. Which always kind of looked like one of those, weird, like, puppet, like, Muppet Vulture things from Dark Crystal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was it the Skeezix?
Skeksis.
That's it.
Don't get the wrong. Skeksis are awesome. Yes.
Anyway, so they get this crystal, but then they are attacked by what appear to be knockoff robotics.
Yeah, they're closer to robotics than anything else. But,
I love that when they show up and they start like transforming. And Cheers is, they're changing into other forms. What evil robots.
Oh, and yes, she's talking to her horse, and it's at this point the horse talks back, and it's like, I forgot the horse talked.
I mean, I guess we know that Cringer talks, so it makes sense that the horse also talks.
The horse does also
talk. It does, but like, horses talk less in fiction than weird green tigers.
Wilbur.
I would say that horses probably talk more in fiction than strange green tigers.
I kind of wish he had more of a horse voice.
Well, but on the whole, as compared to horses in fiction versus horses in fiction that talks, it's a smaller percentage than green tigers and green tigers
that
talk.
Well, yes, because that's a one-to-one.
Yes.
Yes.
But,
and I guess even going by tigers, you got Mr. Taki Tani. Captain Marvel's buddy.
I do appreciate the more recent She-Ra Swiftwind, who is just a horse that was magically granted sentience and the ability to talk and just behaves as one would expect. And he's very proud of himself and thinks he's great. And also would really
I do kind of wish he had more of a horse voice.
Yeah.
By which I mostly mean, yeah, Mr. Ed.
Yeah, it's just a dude voice.
Like, oh, She-Ra. I gotta get me some... I don't know why my horse voice is just Jimmy Stewart. But anyway.
Kind of.
So yeah, these evil robots who are definitely not a poke at our competitors who are eating our plastic lunch are the Monsteroids.
And this was 1985, so yeah, they were definitely getting trounced by the robots.
Yeah, He-Man saw the writing on the wall here.
Yeah.
And the writing was, are all dead.
Bob Forward saw the writing on the wall here, not realizing that someday he, too, would be transformed.
But yeah, they do look more like robotics, or sort of like GoBots, well, monster GoBots, than Transformers.
And their leader definitely has the great value Soundwave voice.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't even get names. Like, he's referred to as number one.
Yes.
He's got a big Roman numeral one on him, so that's how you can tell.
Listen, we're not selling toys to these guys, so we're not going to bother giving them names. Although...
Some of them have transformations, but they took the time to draw machine parts.
It definitely sounds like nobody involved in designing these characters had actually seen a Transformer, but Transformers had been described to them by somebody who had it described to them by a child.
I do think that
I haven't seen Transformers, but my brother's nephew saw it.
It's worth mentioning, I think, that at this, so this was, and okay, I went to a convention several years ago where there was one of the people who, I forget which one, but someone who worked on these shows did a big panel. It is worth noting that the animators in the ending credits are actually a whole bunch of American names, because this was one of the last, like, entirely American-produced TV show, like, cartoon shows. And that was another thing that was kind of eating their lunch, and they were probably a little resentful of. But that does mean that...
Yeah, shipping out all the in-betweens far, far away.
So that does mean that, for instance, you're not going to have the people, you know, artists working on it who are also, like, you know, working on at Toei or something. So this is, like, entirely American designs for what these robots should look like, so you're not... getting the Japanese influence that would have probably made them feel a little more accurate.
Or toyetic. Well, I kind of like number one's design, but the rest of them are...
They're very cool, but they are definitely more American than you see with, like, Starriers or, you know, toy lines from the time that were from Japan. Also... I was pretty sure that these were never actually toys, because they were definitely the kind of thing that I would have noticed sitting up on the big plastic shelf behind the table at the toy show up there with, like, Tendril and...
Yeah. They are not toys, but they're sort of inspired by a toy called a Monstroid.
Mm. Well, there is... Yeah, there was a He-Man Monstroid, but it was very different looking.
Yeah, it was the vehicle... thingy weird.
And apparently these guys are evil, but they're not affiliated with the Skeletor or Hordak, and their plan is just, we'll encase them in a big plastic bubble and then leave.
We're going to neutralize the threat, but we don't actually care about it, so we're gonna take off.
I mean, that does kind of make sense if they're, you think of them as, like, poorly programmed AIs.
Yeah,
because they were sealed in the ground for who knows how long. They may be affiliated with Horde Prime, or were in the past.
Well, we're about to get to Horde Prime, so they slash out of this bubble. They get back, they take this crystal back, they fire up the transport beam, and so Orko gets zapped back to Earth. But he also takes these kids because they're lost, I guess.
Yeah, he basically kidnaps it. Well, the transport beam is weird. It's like, oh, you have to stand in the glowy thing to get transported back. So I was thinking, okay, you stand in the beam, Orko, and you get transported back. Fine, but you're bringing the children with them. But so that's kind of kidnapping them. But it also brings the whole fucking ship back.
There's so,
so
much.
So that would have grabbed the kids anyway.
There's so much child endangerment in this show.
Yeah.
And of course, they're terrified because they've been brought to the planet of the beefy hunks, and also they're going to miss Christmas.
They've been brought to the planet of the beefy hunks, but they're prepubescent, so this does not hold any particular appeal for them, except possibly as, like, when I grow up fantasies.
Well, beefy hunks and a couple of muscular ladies.
Yes.
And a mermaid.
The planet of muscular ladies has also made an appearance.
But, and so, you know, Queen Marlene is all, well, you know, you know, you're from my planet, so, you know, why don't we just combine the birthday party with the Christmas party? And then, oh, too bad, Adam and Adore, you just become the kid whose birthday is December the 20th.
Yes, I thought of that, too. I thought that all of the kids whose birthdays were towards the end of December absolutely automatically related to all of this. Because they're like, oh, it's Christmas. Well, their birthday is now, so let's all celebrate at the same time.
Oh, happy birthday, my twins. We're talking about Jesus now.
So, you know, they are going to send them home, but it is going to take, like, a couple of days for the crystal to recharge. And I'm sure King Randor is thinking, well, you know, we got a girl and a boy, and, you know, in a couple of decades, we're going to need a new He-Man and a new She-Ra. Just saying. Maybe your crystal didn't quite recharge all the way, Man-at-Arms.
Well, yeah, because it's not like they can marry them away to other kingdoms. Like, they're the only kingdom on this planet, apparently, except for Skeletor. Does Skeletor have kids?
Well, I mean, there are a bunch of other kingdoms, I think, but they're all, like, weird monster people.
Well, yeah, the beast people or whatever some are.
You know, you're going to have marry He-Man off to, I don't know, the queen of whatever the flying monkey people are? what's that guy, Stratos?
Oh, man, Stratos.
Like a flying monkey guy? Or, I don't know, the bee people? Like Buzz Off? Or, I don't know, the robot elephant head guys? no thanks. I want regular-looking grandchildren. Thanks, but no thanks.
Gotta be some appeal to the robot elephant head guys.
I mean, listen, was he, like, born with that? Does he have the robot head, like, did he have that coming
like,
out?
What's under the head?
I gotta know
the
these
head.
Things.
Yeah, is it a person face, or is he, like, cyborg replaced his head?
I vaguely recall this was, like, a RoboCop situation, except, like, a really stupid RoboCop situation.
I would be so mad.
Like, couldn't you give me a regular robot head? I could be, I don't know, machine head or something. Not an elephant head. Unless it was like a Twilight Zone thing where he was like rebuilt by like elephant people.
Ooh.
And they assumed like, that like his regular elephant head was destroyed, so they had to rebuild him an elephant head. Anyway, so cut to Horde. What is Horde Prime's deal?
He's
like, there's like a cloud of gas. There's like a big robot fist.
He's
coming out of there.
Kind of the Palpatine of the setting, but yeah, he's just super
like a
evil.
Giant, he's like 100 feet tall.
It was a very nicely animated robot hand.
And I didn't really know what the whole deal with. I didn't realize that Skeletor and Hordak were middle management.
Well, I remembered that Hordak was. I forgot that Skeletor also worked for him.
Yeah, they're both like the regional supervisors for Eternia and Etheria.
Part of it is just that
they got to report to the head office.
Part
here.
Of it is just once
the head
they,
office is on an asteroid. In
when
space.
They expanded things to She-Ra and added this whole extra planet, they like you can tell that they thought about the world building more when they did She-Ra. And so part of that was retconning that Skeletor had also worked for this higher bad guy.
Skeletor has a
boss.
Yeah,
Skeletor has a boss. Also in the new She-Ra series, Hordak is pretty bishy. So that's a change.
Does he still make pig noises?
No, he does not make pig noises.
Oh.
Yeah, that's the pig noises. I completely forgot about that. And that like just knocks Hordak down in coolness a lot.
So yeah, that was.
I mean, the thing
like,
is,
he has a good design, but then
I feel like Hordak, like they didn't quite figure out his deal before they put him on the show because he's got like bones on him. He's got a bat on his chest. He's got a head that's apparently based on like a tiki mask.
That's probably toy design stuff. Is that they were just sort of throwing
and
everything at the
then
wall.
Then he also makes pig noises.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm wondering like they interpret like a bat face as like a pig face.
Yeah, he does have kind of a smushed nose.
He has a little minion, like an imp or thing that flies around that does have a pig.
That's
face.
Definitely like a pig. I think that's like imp or something.
Something like that.
And so Horde Prime is all listen. The Christmas spirit has been brought to Eternia, and it will hinder my evil. You must bring me these Earth children. And then Hordak and Skeletor have like a little slap fight.
Yes.
He's like, guy. You suck, Hordak. No, you suck, Skeletor. Oink, oink.
There's a, I posted a picture of the, new, prettier Hordak.
Yeah, it's a fine design.
And, at one point, Skeletor calls Hordak a miserable excuse for a villain.
That's just mean.
It's a, we're getting a little too meta here, He-Man. You're not good enough to do that.
Pot kettle, buddy. Don't do that.
Yeah. Speaking of things that are not good, cut now to Eternia, and Bo is like singing a Christmas carol with these kids, and it's the worst thing I've ever heard.
Bo is basically in this. He's basically a bard. He's your classic bard.
He likes
to sing.
I have heard funeral dirges with more Christmas spirit.
Not a great
this. This is a nightmare.
You can't have
and
a
these
Christmas
kids cannot
special
sing.
Without a song.
I mean, I guess we didn't have any voice actors who could sing. I don't know.
They certainly weren't going to pay extra to get some. I mean, you see what other people are paying for people to go be in the Rainbow Bright movie? That's like real money they're throwing at it.
Yeah, we're paying animators.
I don't know. Maybe can Oppenheimer sing as Skeletor? I bet he could do it. Or I don't know, as like Merman.
Yeah, you know, he probably could actually, because he's got crazy range.
Anyway, so Hordak shows up in this weird phallic helicopter.
Oh God, the dildo copter!
The dildo copter.
Why is it like that?
And
is that because he's in charge of the planet of women?
It's very like. Wow. Look.
I mean, it's just like Zardoz says, the gun is good, the penis is evil.
Yeah.
It's like, it's a shocking design of that thing. It's.
I mean, it's not like the
like
Phoenix.
It, like we said, the gayest place in Hollywood.
Yeah, like
it's not like the Phoenix from First Contact, but.
It's like,
it's
you know, the double rotor banana copter thingy, whatever the fuck it's called. But they just took.
Like the tomahawk from G.I. Joe.
They just took the front blade off and shape the body of it more like a dildo.
And made it
like a
bulbous.
Dick.
Yeah,
it's
bulbous at the end. It's why?
Anyway, so and you know, he's got a bunch of his dudes with him. You know, I think Mantenna is in there, or maybe Modulok.
Yeah, he's got the two guys that come apart and become lots of little bits to rearrange.
I think that's Multibot.
Yeah.
And Catra is there making B-grade Julie Newmar cat noises.
Meow, meow.
Meow. Meow.
And so, you know, they pretty quickly get attacked by the Monstroids because they want these children because they're going to bargain with Horde Prime?
Oh,
question
yes.
mark?
Like, one of them reaches up and grabs the dildo copter in his hand.
Yes.
Ah.
All the villains are fighting over these kids, man.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh no, they've grabbed that helicopter and their hands are so cold!
The Monstroids seem to be doing this just to be dicks, though.
And then, yeah, the Monstroids show up and then Hordak and his dudes just like Scooby-Doo run away.
Well, first his henchmen do the
sound effects.
The Monstroids are like 50 feet tall, depending upon the shot.
Yes.
So all Hordak's henchmen are like, fuck this, we're out, running with Scooby-Doo sound effects. And Hordak's there for like 30 seconds more thinking about it. It's like, fuck it. And he runs too.
And then meanwhile, He-Man and She-Ra have gone to Peek-A-Blue, who is like a peacock woman who is all-seeing via her tail.
Yes.
And this is kind of cool, I guess.
Well, isn't that like one of the myths of this peacock, like, it has, like, hundreds of eyes and can see everywhere.
Well, it's said to have been given the eyes of the hundred-eyed titan Argus.
Hmm.
But anyway, good news for Orko and these kids, because they are now saved by the Man-Sheens.
Good for them, bad for us.
So it's like if you crossbred Bot-Bots with Smurfs.
Yes, they are.
Yes, and.
And they're the worst.
I would really like to.
I hate them so much.
I wish I had seen this when, like, I was still, running into Bob Forward at conventions, because I would really like to know if this was, like, some attempt at a spinoff or, like, what they were trying for.
Yeah, because apparently they all have, like, names. Like, we see, like, Cutter and Zipper named, and there's, like, a Man-Sheen puppy named Relay.
I mean, like
were
I
they
said...
previously in She-Ra somehow? Because they very much feel like, oh, yeah, these are going to be spin-off.
Or oh, yeah, hey, it's our friends, the Man-Sheens.
Well, according to the He-Man wiki on fandom, they were He-Wiki. Only in this.
Weird. They're, like... God, there's so many of the little things. They have names and shapes, and they're so annoying. They remind me of, like, the worst version of so many little kids' shows at the time.
I mean...
Like, with these little annoying animals. Like, see, variations of Smurfs. Things trying to be the Smurfs.
Like I said, worse. Filmation was really struggling, because they were trying to, you know, still trying to do things all stateside, and that was expensive. But, so it does kind of feel like they were trying to get, like, a spinoff in here, and no one was buying it. Cause this, it's like, I don't know, it's almost kind of cynical how much it's just, like, what's the most...
Toyetic.
What's the most, like, toyetic cartoon spinoff Saturday morning kind of nonsense we can come up with? And it's definitely some robots, but, like, the Smurfs.
Yeah, like somebody was trying to make cuter, dumber battle beasts that are more marketable with big faces.
And speaking of names that we were definitely going to put in the set, we were going to have to fix in the second drafts, the Man-Sheens.
Yes.
And also,
I mean, the
one of these guys is like,
great, but Man-Sheens is worse.
He's like perpetually like a car guy, like
Zipper.
He's Turbo Teen, but he's like got stuck halfway between.
Yeah, but he's like,
and they're just like riding him, and I just thought of the ambiguously gay duo from SNL, Cling Tenaciously to My Buttocks.
Yes, that was Zipper.
He-Man and She-Ra show up. The monsteroids get pretty easily handled, but then in comes Skeletor, taking it down on the first down line, and he takes these two kids and also this Man-Sheen puppy, Relay.
Yeah, who looks more like a puppy? Whereas all the most of the Man-Sheens don't have legs.
Yeah, there's some hands.
He takes off on.
I just read a note. I had like, okay, so the monstroids are your knockoff Transformers and GoBots, and then when these itty bitty Man-Sheens showed up that are smaller than human children, made me think, oh, these are just evolved Scrapplets.
Yeah, I could see that too.
Because they're just a pain in the ass to the monstroids and help kill them.
So, you know, Skeletor takes off in his, like, sky jet ski, and then he gets shot down by Hordak, and they just crash in these snowy mountains. And he's like, oh, fine, I'll just have to walk to Horde Prime.
Come along, troublesome tots! It's marching season!
And, like, this is not good. This is definitely the best part of the special.
It's the part everyone remembers.
Yes, because they're like, oh, no, we're cold, it's... We're tiny children. He's like, cold? We think you're cold? Look at what I'm wearing. I'm wearing a bondage harness, and I have no skin on my face.
Come on, move! Move it, you little ragamuffins!
I've got snow collecting in my eye sockets. That's very cold!
Yeah, and he's already frozen blue. He doesn't care.
Listen, my genitals have retreated entirely within my body.
But then, like, after all their bitching, he's like, fine, I'll be the Mr. Pickle in this situation. Clothes beam! And just gives them warm winter clothes.
I like that Alicia seems to have,
magicked them up some parkas.
Completely collapsed at this point. Like, she's just lying unconscious on the ground, but immediately...
They are moments away from death.
But as soon as she gets a coat, she's just immediately conscious again, and that just makes it seem like she was acting.
Oh, she's a soccer player.
It seems like she was faking it.
And then they're trying to explain what, like, Christmas is about to him. That's about love and caring and joy. That sounds terrible.
Kindness? That's horrible. Oh, yeah, and like, he, fuck it. Okay, I had to give you guys clothes. We're marching. We're leaving. What about the doggy? Fuck the dog. We're leaving the dog here. What about the doggy? And then the doggy's looking cute. And went, Skeletor, oh, just the shots of him in their limited animation. Starting to walk away. Turning back. Gonna walk away again. Fuck it. I'll pick up the dog.
That dog, man.
I will say there's some pretty good skull facial animation in this.
Yes, they managed to make him smile. He gets the most facial animation.
The dog was breaking my heart. She's like, no, you can't leave the dog.
Like, the man sheens are annoying as shit.
Yes.
And weird and ugly. The dog's actually kind of cute.
And then it quickly becomes those memes about, you know, dad not wanting the dog and then dad with the dog.
Yes, because they're like, oh, we could carry him too. No, no, I shall carry the dogs. The dog's licking his face because it's made of bone.
It is.
I'm getting saliva in my eye sockets.
He's just so annoyed that he's happy and enjoying having this dog lick his face. And then they're describing more things about Christmas. What is this Christmas about? What happens? Do people get into fights? No, they don't get into fights. Skeletor, I have news for you. Yes, people get into fights on Christmas. You fucking love it.
But if you watch no other part of this special, at least watch this part with Skeletor because it's pretty amazing.
And yes, because it's like possibly one of the most quoted lines Skeletor has ever said. Like, nice, I'm not nice.
Don't want to be nice.
And various other things. It's so good.
And then they get gifts. Do the gifts explode?
It's just so, like, perfect.
Just so perfect. And then they're attacked by a snow beast, which just made me think of that Rudolph special.
Oh, no. So, a bumble.
Look out, children, it's a bumble. But don't worry, a bumble's bounce.
It bounces down through the ice and across the sheets of the glaciers.
But it doesn't get killed because, again, this is He-Man.
Yeah.
And then, you know, this dog's licking Skeletor's skull face, and Skeletor's just trying to reassure himself that he's still evil.
I definitely picture the toy that never existed of this dog being like small dog size, being like, quote, life size, and having that like really long plush on the ears, and I can imagine this thing existing.
Papillon things. Has they ever made a toy of this? There really should be a Skeletor holding the dog toy, and I don't think there ever has been.
I mean, you're sitting on a gold mine, Mattel.
That's a big, like, Ultimates. Has Ultimates, the Super 7 Ultimates stuff, gone into He-Man yet? Because
I don't know if they have. Because, yeah, that's obviously you do Christmas He-Man.
Yeah. You do Christmas He-Man.
Santa He-Man and Skeletor with the dog.
Yes.
I want Skeletor with the dog so bad. Like, admittedly, I do have a Skeletor figure already because he looked cool, but I want the puppy. Just the puppy licking his face. What, Christmas ornament? Why isn't it a Christmas ornament?
So, yeah, they get to Horde Prime ship. He-Man and She-Ra also get there, but then Hordak is also there with a bunch of his, like, robot guys and also Multibot for some reason. Because we're trying to sell that Multibot.
Please, please buy it.
You know, there's a big fight.
Montgomery Ward has a dozen of them on clearance. Please buy it.
Skeletor gets shot, so he just... But then he, just as, you know, He-Man and She-Ra are fighting these robots, and they're kind of overwhelmed. And then, you know, Horde Prime's about to grab these kids, but then this dog starts licking Skeletor's skull face. And then he's like, oh, I'm inspired by the Christmas spirit to save these children! And he shoots down this ship, and, you know, Horde Prime is obviously extremely mad at this, but then He-Man and She-Ra just grab this ship, they lift it up, and they throw it into space!
Yes! That didn't work. Okay, I cannot find... Well, there are many Skeletor Christmas ornaments, but there are none with the doggy. However, there is an ugly sweater Skeletor with a Christmas hat, and the dog, which I am tempted by now.
Fantastic. A Skulltor?
Or Skulltor.
I can't do a good portmanteau there. Anyway, so, you know, these children are, you know, He-Man's always very surprised that Skulltor saved these children, but obviously, you know, just the Christmas spirit and, well, you know, don't worry, Skeletor. Christmas only comes once a year. Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, he's just, like, he's standing in the background, like, so annoyed that he's filled with Christmas spirit, and He-Man's like, wait, you saved the kids? What? I was like, I know, I'm shocked, too. Oh, thank God, this is only once a year.
Poor Skeletor, his entire, like, sense of self has been completely destroyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're back at the palace, and, you know, we're having this Christmas/birthday party. Everybody's hanging out. Cyclone is getting drunk off the punch.
Oh, I think, like, Fistor is trying to give a gift to the mermaid or something.
Because she's there, even though she's a mermaid.
I don't think I want to know what kind of gift that is.
No.
Yeah, I don't
know. And I
know.
Think it's Fist-O, which is actually funnier.
Oh. Yeah.
Fisto's there. Ram Man is there. And, Adam is there, dressed as Santa Claus with a voice that is just one hair away from being a hate crime.
Yeah, because it's doing a higher pitch voice as Adam and then a slight pitch off as Santa that does not work.
He's also wearing a lot of pink.
Yeah. You know, it was their own people.
Well, yes, this is true. So, you know, he gives these kids, well, look, they're flying belts. And then we will send this puppy back to the Mansheens. So, you know, they get transported back to their home. Their dad looks like Gene Shalit.
I thought he looked like Mario.
Yeah, I could see that. And they're, you know, well, you know, oh, you were on another planet? Yeah, sure, kids.
How long were they missing for in...
There might be, like, a time dilation thing where time passes more quickly on Earth. Because, I mean, obviously Marlena is, like, He-Man's mom isn't... Like, is she just... Was she, like, an astronaut in the 60s?
Yeah, how does that work? Unless this takes place in the future.
If this is the 80s?
I don't know.
But those kids don't seem to be from the future.
Really.
They just like a regular-ass house. So I wonder if there's, like, a time thing where, like, time passes more... quickly on Eternia/Etheria.
Or it's a Buck Rogers thing where she was chucked through time just in the other direction.
Also possible. Anyway, so they're all, another planet, but then they're flying, and presumably Earth society is destroyed via Eternian technology.
Yeah.
But then, back on... We're back on Eternia, and that is how Christmas first came to Eternia, because we get our little moral at the end of the episode with Prince Adam and Orko.
Yeah, you gotta have that, so that...
Yeah, he's just sitting in a chair reading a book by a fireplace.
You fulfill your qualifications for being an educational program.
Yes, I know we've got a single line, because we've got to acknowledge, there might be some, like, Jewish kids watching this or something, because not everyone celebrates Christmas, but the spirit of the Christmas season is within us all.
Yes. Thank you for the disclaimer.
And, of course, Orko mostly thinks of it as the season of presents.
Yes, he just wants presents.
And that is the He-Man She-Ra Christmas special. It's incredibly stupid, but I recommend that you watch it. It's on YouTube. It's 44 minutes. Have a little eggnog, some mulled wine. Get a bit of a buzz off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it may not be as classic as, like, the Rankin and Bass specials.
Oh, my God, no.
But it is fun in its own stupid way. And that Skeletor segment of Skeletor's heart being melted by a dog is just...
It was amazing.
It's a good comedy.
So good.
My heart grew 3 sizes. So, yeah, it is...
There's a character named Davy Jones in this, and he's a rat? What?
It
says he only makes a cameo. I was just looking at the cast list of things, and it's like, I guess he's in one of the panning shots, but he's a rat.
I mean, maybe he's like a sea rat, or like a bilge rat?
I guess?
Well, he just looks like one of those mice from Cinderella, though. Apparently he's a talking mouse who's also a sailor.
Sure.
Okay.
That sounds reasonable.
Alright, and so, you know, we come to the end of our Christmas episode, but I've prepared a special Christmas gift for everybody.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Because you'll recall, last year in our Christmas episode, I had a little quiz about the Christmas films of Lacey Chabert.
Yes.
And I have good news, because since last year, Lacey Chabert has starred in enough Christmas movies to provide material for an entirely new quiz.
Oh no.
So please have your noisemakers ready.
Oh.
How does she have time for this?
In this year's Haul Out the Holly, Chabert starts with Stephen Tobolowsky playing Ned, which is also the name of the character he played in this 1993 time loop comedy.
Hello? Is my bell not working?
David?
Yes. Groundhog Day.
That is correct.
Oh.
Yes, the easy question. Ned, I don't
Ryerson.
Dang it. Because he says it a couple times, and it's like it was on the tip of my tongue.
Remember me, Needle Nose Ned, Ned the Head? But I actually have good news for everybody. That was a joke. She has not been in enough Christmas productions since last year. But I have prepared a little quiz for us about the live-action filmographies of Transformers voice actors.
Ooh.
Oh.
See, it's better that you do that than me, because I can't shut up about all of them to begin with, so they would all be things that I've already talked about. Like Blue Man Kuma in 2012.
Now I'm just trying to remember that name of the movie that Scott McNeil starred in. Shit.
Sleeping Dogs. It's not on the quiz because nobody else has seen it, just me.
I saw like 5 minutes of it on Sci-Fi Channel.
That's all
you
need to
see. The channel.
So we'll start off with an easy one. Orson Welles, the voice of Unicron, directed, wrote, and starred in this film in which a reporter tries to find out the meaning of a dying media mogul's last word. Rosebud. Jen.
Oh, my bell's not working. What the hell?
Citizen Kane.
That is correct.
Yay! I haven't seen it, though. I've just heard people talk about it extensively.
It is actually very good. Rosebud.
Oh, very good.
Rosebud Frozen Peas.
It looks great. Like, it does so many cinematic things that weren't really done at the time. It is long and kind of slow-paced, though. So,
green penis.
Have a drink and a long night.
Oh, that's terrible. I quit. Oh, what the hell? I need the money. All right, we're gonna start off with some Transformers the movie voice actors here. So Lionel Stander, voice of Cup, he played the butler Max on this 80s detective show. David.
Heart to Heart.
That is correct.
I love that show. Well, I loved a lot of the detective shows at the time that followed Columbo, and that one was pretty good.
And when they met, it was
Moida. I think I say Moida. Like, he has an accent.
He was also blacklisted for being a communist.
Yay!
Oh! Oh!
The best reason to be blacklisted.
Mm-hmm. He's just sharing Karl Marx with Hot Rod in the scenes that Transformers the movie they cut.
That would be great.
I mean, he may have tried to do that with Judd Nelson. I don't know.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, a communist Autobot. Hmm.
All right, and speaking of Judd Nelson played an evil arms dealer who opposed a superhero played by Shaquille O'Neal in this 1997 box office disaster.
What?
Right.
How many movies was Shaq in? Jeez.
Was it Shazam?
That is incorrect, David. You can steal.
No. That's the only Shaq movie I remember.
I may have already said the name of this movie.
Well, it ain't working. I have no clue.
That is, he played John Henry Irons in Steel.
Oh!
Yes! The one that was based on the Superman character.
That's correct.
I totally forgot that existed. Which
I forgot
sad.
Who the fuck was in it.
How could you forget that Shaq is in a movie? Oh yeah, it must have been that other 7 foot tall basketball player in that
because
movie.
Because of the fact that I haven't seen that one.
Nobody saw it.
Well, no.
Anyway.
I forgot who else was in it.
Alright, anyway. Robert Stack, voice of Ultra Magnus, helped co-star Lloyd Bridges adjust to the unusual tone of this 1980 movie during filming, telling Bridges, come on, Lloyd, they just want us to be us.
Oh,
David.
Airplane?
Surely you can't be serious. You're correct.
Yay!
All right. I'm going to need two answers for this question.
Uh-oh.
Leonard Nimoy, the voice of Galvatron, appeared in all six Star Trek movies featuring the original cast as Mr. Spock, but which two did he direct?
Ooh.
I will just accept the numbers here. You don't have to come up with the subtitles.
Oh.
Jen.
Was it four, The Voyage Home, and six? Was six The Undiscovered Country?
Six was The Undiscovered Country, but that is incorrect. David, you can steal.
Which one else did you do? Oh, three, David. The Search for Spock?
That is correct. And
yes. Four, The Voyage Home.
And four, The Voyage Home. Okay.
So we each get a point for that one.
Yeah, I'll give you both a point. I'm feeling generous for Christmas. All right. David Mendenhall played Daniel Witwicky, son of Spike and Carly, in Transformers the movie and season 3 of G1. He also played the son of Sylvester Stallone in Over the Top, a movie about this unusual sport.
Yay.
David.
Arm wrestling.
Arm wrestling.
What?
I have seen that piece of shit.
What?
He's a truck driver who's in an arm wrestling competition, and I think he's, like, getting divorced, and he's trying to reconnect with his daughter.
No, his ex-wife is dying, and he's, like, Sylvester Stallone is professional trucker Lincoln Hawk, who is also a professional arm wrestler, and he is taking his son from military school to see his dying mother, and also his evil father-in-law, played by Robert Loggia.
Oh, wow.
And there's all sorts of arm wrestling. It's so stupid.
It's very stupid.
This sounds like a movie that might have, like, a lesser-known Stan Bush track in it.
Ooh.
No, the theme song is by Sammy Hagar.
What?
The winner takes it all. The loser takes the fall. What if you want to go over the top?
Oh, the 80s.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. Bad.
And also, David Mendenhall looks exactly like Daniel. It's weird.
Oh, wow.
And he sounds exactly like him.
Yeah.
All right. Playing the mother of the main character, Susan Blue, the voice of RC, is one of the killer's many victims in the seventh installment of this long-running horror franchise.
It's Friday the 13th, right?
You did not ring in, but I will give you
that. Oh, I thought
I
did. Yes. I gotta get it closer to the... to the mic.
Yes, that is Friday the 13th, Part 7, The New Blood. All right, and one last one from Transformers the movie. Norm Alden, who is the voice of doomed Lithoan aliens Kranix and Arbliss, played Professor Frank Heflin, civilian aide to a duo of super heroines in this cheesy 70s Sid and Marty Krofft show.
It's not Puffin' Stuff.
It is not. Jen.
Dinah Girl and Electro Woman.
Close enough. Electro Woman and Dinah Girl.
Wow, that was live action?
It was live action. It had, her name? Marlena from, Days of Our Lives?
Weird.
All right,
and
now we
move. They had Puffin' Stuff and the creepy as fuck hat thing.
I remember they were on a lot of psychedelics.
Lidsville.
Yes. Yes, and a whole lot of chroma key special effects.
Yes.
All right, Darren Norris, the voice of Knockout on Transformers Prime, played the Club Scum MC in this Gremlins ripoff, famously lampooned on Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Oh, wait, what?
Oh, man, I...
Oh!
David.
Hobgoblins.
Hobgoblins.
The first Munchies popped into my head first, and it was like,
I saw it on the Turkey Day marathon a couple years ago, but I could not remember the title.
Yeah, because it's Hobgoblins is very forgettable, and they're just shitty little puppets. Well, because it's like fifth tier, you got
I did not forget him.
They're terrible puppets.
You got like Gremlins and Ghoulies and Munchies, and then at the bottom is Hobgoblins. Well, I think there is one worse one, but I can't remember the name of it.
All right. Michael Bell, the voice of Prowl and now High Tide, appears in the two-part pilot of this successful 80s and 90s science fiction TV show.
Oh, wow.
What? So it, did it, was it twice or did it just cross decades? What?
It started in the late 80s, went into the early 90s.
Okay.
Jen.
Was it Star Trek The Next Generation?
You are correct.
Yes.
He is in Encounter at Farpoint.
I feel like I probably knew that at some point.
And when he turns up, he just sounds exactly like Duke.
Yeah. Of course he does. That's how he sounds.
All right. The David Hasselhoff Nick Fury TV movie features two Beast Wars actors. Campbell Lane, played Rampage, plays Baron Strucker, while S.H.I.E.L.D. agent Dum Dum Dugan is played by this man. David.
Gary Chalk.
Gary Chalk is correct.
I would have figured that would be the easier one.
That's what I figured. I was going to either ask a question about that or The Fly 2, but nobody's seen The Fly 2.
I've seen The Fly 2, but no, I meant like I wouldn't have gotten who Baron Strucker was.
Yeah, nobody knows who. Nobody really knows Campbell Lane. Yeah.
I know Campbell Lane. He was in Beast Wars.
Well, there is that. All right. Frank Welker plays the best friend of main character Dexter Riley in the live-action 60s Disney film The Computer Wore Tennis Shoes. Who played Dexter Riley?
Man.
Oh, why am I blanking?
Big star of live-action Disney movies of the 60s.
I know.
And who continues to act to this very day.
I know, which is why it's killing me. Without having to Google, it's like other movies he's been in. Shit.
I'm going to have to call time on this one, guys.
Okay.
I am really sorry. I can't remember his fucking name.
Kurt Russell.
Yes. Yes. Why the fuck can't I remember that? He's Ego. Damn it.
All right. Alan Oppenheimer, who we just heard is the voice of Skeletor, but was also the voice of Sea Spray, among others, was featured in new footage shot for the American version of this really neat kaiju film.
Wait, what? We showed new footage? Well,
David?
Gamera?
Gamera, yes.
I don't remember there being new footage.
Apparently they shot new footage for the American version of it.
Yeah.
Well, you should go find that, because that's right up your alley.
With a bunch of white guys, including Alan Oppenheimer.
Yeah, I guess they're in like a missile control room at the beginning when he breaks out of the ice. I didn't know there were any named actors in that. I thought it was just whoever the fuck.
So as a brief aside, in the recent adult He-Man series on Netflix, Alan Oppenheimer does return as Moss Man, but not as Skeletor.
The guy's like 90 years old.
He is.
That playing Skeletor like makes bones dissolve.
You need to get someone younger and more virile to play Skeletor, like Mark Hamill.
Sure.
Young Mark Hamill. All right,
so Charlie Schlatter, who played Subway Mad Scientist Vertebrae in Robots in Disguise, stars in 18 Again, one of the 80s many body swap comedies. In it, the teenage Schlatter swaps bodies with his elderly grandfather, played by this comic, who lived to be 100 years old.
Oh.
Jen.
George Burns.
Correct.
Yes. One of the worst movies ever made.
All right. Constance Zimmer, the voice of Strongarm on Robots in Disguise, appears in the legendarily bad X-Files episode First Person Shooter, which was written by this legendary cyberpunk author, whose work was adapted for our previous episode, Johnny Mnemonic.
Oh!
Jen, you were in first.
William Gibson.
Correct.
Oh, I picked the wrong name anyway.
Score update. David leads Jen by a single point, 8-7.
Oh, wow.
All right. Bill Fagerback, the voice of Bulkhead on Transformers Animated, played the dim-witted Michael Dauber Dubinsky on this long-running sports comedy sitcom.
Oh.
David.
Coach
is correct.
My brain was firmly going in a M-O-O-N spells moon direction. So.
Yes! I was expecting that to be the answer, too.
When you think
I was expecting to say The Stand, but it's like, oh no, he was on a TV show that I sort of vaguely did watch for a while.
When you think I'm going to zig, that's when I zag.
Yeah.
Very clever.
All right, Dick Gauthier, who played Rodimus Prime on season 3 of Generation of G1, is perhaps best known for playing Jaime the Robot on this 60s sitcom.
What? 60s?
Oh, wow.
Jaime the Robot.
Jaime.
60s?
60s sitcom with a robot?
60s sitcom.
What the fuck?
What 60s sitcom is likely to have a robot on it?
Oh!
I know, on Go, I'm blanking.
Yeah.
Nobody?
I'm gonna...
Jen?
I guess I'll guess, like, Bewitched? That had
incorrect,
stuff.
I'm afraid you both missed it by that much. It's Get Smart.
Oh, wow. My dad was really into that.
That would make sense.
And
it's
apparently all that information
really
like has just,
also... Dick Gauthier is very funny.
Led my mind.
Playing a robot.
I remember shoe phones and phone booth gags. And the movie called The Nude Bomb for some reason.
All right. Jim Burns, the voice of Inferno on Beast Wars, played Joe Dawson in 97 episodes and 2 movies of this fantasy franchise without getting decapitated, which is an ever-present threat.
Oh.
David.
Highlander the series.
There can be only one.
Connor MacLeod of the Clan MacLeod.
All right. 2 questions left.
Okay.
All right. Roger C. Carmel, the voice of Motormaster and Cyclonus, plays stamp-themed villain Colonel Gum, who messed Batman and Robin, as well as this other masked crime fighter in a 60s TV crossover.
Oh!
David.
Green Hornet?
You are correct.
Ooh.
I that was a wild guess because, like, I was pretty sure that they had a crossover. I didn't remember who was in it.
Yeah, Roger C. Carmel, Harry Mudd himself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, one last question. Rory McCann, Earthspire's Megatron, plays a towering henchman slash grocery store employee in an action movie spoof Hot Fuzz, in which he communicates with this single word.
Oh.
David.
You're wrong. It's 2 words, yarp and narp.
He doesn't use NARP.
He doesn't say NARP,
it's
but yes.
A guy impersonating him who uses NARP.
I know, but that does imply that he can say 2 words.
It implies it, but he does not say it on screen.
Fine. He only says YARP.
That is correct. And David is the winner of this challenge by a score of 12-7.
Good job.
Got lucky. Nice. Random bad movies and TV shows.
Yay!
Well, thank you for participating and indulging me in my desire to once again be the Burgermeister of Quizmeisters.
Good job. No romantic comedies this time.
No, I that, it turns out nobody knew anything about those last time. Have anyone seen Mean Girls? Killed them.
All I know is
I've seen Mean Girls now. I love
it's good,
Mean
isn't
Girls.
It?
Yeah, it's really good.
There
yeah.
is one. I don't need to see Mean Girls. I was a teenager in high school.
Well, yes, but it is a good movie. Good
All
guess.
I know is that there's a romantic comedy with Kristen Stewart and Mackenzie Davis, and I still haven't seen that. So obviously, I'm not going to see any.
That's Happiest Season.
Yes.
All right, so I believe that does it for our Christmas special. Thank you again to all of our Patreon supporters. We'll be back in January with what? Who knows?
Stuff.
Something cool.
Something.
Yes.
I don't know.
What was
Maybe
the
I'll
thing
pick
we
something
just...
for my birthday.
Ooh, what was the thing that we just brought? Oh, right, the X-Men animated episode with the Cajuns.
Yeah,
with the Thieves.
The Thieves and the Assassins.
We could save that for Valentine's Day.
Remy.
So until next time, I'm Rob.
I'm Jen, and my favorite thing with Mackenzie Davis being super lesbian was Terminator Dark Fate.
And I'm not nice! Merry Christmas! Ah, I want to be easy.